This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment. You've caught the vision. You want to serve God in every aspect of your family life, but sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. How do you get from principle to practice? What does it look like when you get there? How do you apply scriptural truth in a 21st century family? This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we are continuing a discussion we started last week. You know, last week we kind of started with the statement that if you've got siblings in your household, you probably have sibling rivalry. And if you missed that episode, we want to encourage you to go back and look at it. But, you know, some of that is really dealing with negative behaviors, and we want to talk some more today about positive things you can do to build family unity.
I think it's really important because I think a lot of folks just don't know what can I do to make things better around here? What can I do to get us all on the same team?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as you look in the scriptures and you see examples of sibling rivalry, you see Cain and Abel, you see Jacob and Esau and Joseph and his brothers, and they're, you see the negative aspects of bad relationships. But then over and over, the scripture uses illustrations from family life about the love of a mother for a child, the respect of a child for a father, the true love between brothers. We ought to be cultivating that in our home.
Well, you know, we see that, you know, in the congregation of believers that we're called brothers and sisters. And so there's an expectation there. The relationship between brothers and sisters is one of love and compassion and caring for one another and helping one another.
Right.
And, you know, and the Lord says, you know, describing himself, there's one that sticks closer than a brother, meaning this is a great relationship, the brotherly relationship. There's one that goes beyond that.
Yeah. And so, you know, he wouldn't use that example if the expectation is, well, you know how it is. The kids just squabble all the time and it's always division and anger and frustration and jealousy and all. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so that's why we encourage people to have some hope and to have some expectations and to take some steps to try to put the right relationships in place. But let's talk about this concept of family unity. Now, we've got 8 kids, and if we didn't have some sort of unity in our family, how great would be the disunity?
Oh, it'd be World War III. You know, there's just a lot of personalities, a lot of interest, and I think, you know, part of it is you don't allow the ugliness. We talked about that last week.
Well,
you don't allow them to be mean to each other. You know, there was a post on our Facebook page this morning, Al.
Yeah.
About twin brothers, and one of the brothers is just being really hateful to his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we can't allow that. We can't allow our children to be mean to each other, to call each other names, to persecute each other, even if it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, I think that's where a lot of families get kind of out of whack.
Where they start down the wrong path.
Yeah, because, you know, the families that I've seen a lot of struggles with this in, lots of times it's because the parents are sarcastic and smart mouth, and they kind of get a kick out of the back and forth, but they fail to realize that as adults, they hopefully know how far is too far and when to stop.
And what subjects are not appropriate for teasing, how much tolerance they have. You know, I think one of the self-help authors some time ago used to compare it to a bank account, that you have a certain amount of goodwill built up and occasionally you have to draw down on it. You know, I need you to be patient with me because I'm having a bad day, or I couldn't help it, or I did something stupid. But if you're constantly drawing down, if you're constantly making demands, well, I just need more grace from you. I need more grace from you. I need more forgiveness. I need more, you know, because you never build anything up. He said that's a destructive relationship, and that's something. Yeah, I've seen that too. And we may be thinking about some of the same families, but you see, I guess culturally, we kind of in our society, there's been a standard of humor that involves the put down, cynicism, a kind of a hard edged sort of black humor kind of thing. And
you know what my mom always says?
What?
She says, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess.
Okay. That's wisdom.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that we really need to watch for that, you know, we may tread the edges of the acceptable there, but our kids will jump merrily off the edge.
I think that is a very good thing to keep in mind. Well, as I'm thinking about those families that have those struggles, you know, that the kind of the back and forth, the little jabs and riposts and stuff back, you know, a little bit of that, it's like trash talking between athletes. A little bit of it you can understand, and it's all sport and fun. But if it's constant, you know, if it's
like
a
it's like we talked about last week. If anybody says stop, it's got to stop, and right then.
Yeah.
You know, I'm as we're sitting here talking, I'm looking out at four of our children mm-hmm. of literally all different ages, and they're playing together. We're at the lake. They're playing together. Out there, looks like they're building a sandcastle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ages kids that you would not normally expect to be playing together.
Right.
And I realize, you know, what I think one of the ways that you can build unity in your family is to be together as a family.
Spend the time to do it. And that's harder sometimes than you might expect. I mean, it's easy to drift away from what we think we're doing. And then, you know, it's not until you really sit down and say, okay, make a list. You know, what did you do as a family today? What did you do as a family this weekend or last week? And you start to realize maybe you're not spending the time that you thought you were.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing. And there's, okay.
Well, I think that's one of the huge benefits of homeschooling.
Yeah.
Because I know my family growing up, we were together a lot. We had a family business, and my brother and I were together a lot, more than most of our friends.
Right.
But I think,
were still spending 6 or 7 hours a day at school.
Right. And I think just the institutional school has a tendency to put kids in, you're in with just your age mates all the time. And so you have a completely different set of friends than your brother or sister does.
Unless there's some overlap in families. Like
right.
I know my sister and I were far enough apart that we were never in the same school at the same time. But sometimes her friends were little sisters of my friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, yeah, that the institutional lifestyle tends to track people down these channels. And so, you know, so much of a student's life is focused on everybody in the fourth grade with him or his extracurriculars when he's in high school and people he knows that nobody else in the family has any connection with. It's all focused on that school experience. And so, you know, I don't see non-homeschooling families typically having as much unity as the homeschoolers do, simply because the homeschoolers spend time together.
Well, you spend time together, and of necessity, they learn to play together. And also, some of the bad behaviors
mm-hmm.
that may be tolerable if you're with your kids a couple hours a day are not tolerable when they're there all day. You
right.
have to deal with it.
And some of the bad behavior that might go on the playground, and the teachers either ignore it or they don't see it, and the kids that are offended can stomp off and not have anything to do with you. But you can't do that at home.
No, and even, you know, when we're at the playground,
mm-hmm.
the moms are there.
Right.
And so things get dealt with.
Right.
You know, I think doing things together,
mm-hmm.
making a point to do things together, and that may mean closing up all the devices.
Right.
You know, and we're very into devices because that's where our ministry is. We have kids that work from home. You know,
we do schoolwork on our laptops.
Yeah,
we do business, but
it's very isolating. You know, you can be
yeah.
a whole room full of people and nobody's really interacting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think put away the devices, spend time together. You know, mm-hmm. we're at the lake, like I said, and yes, for my mother's sake, there are adults at our home. Our house is not empty.
Right.
But you know, our kids have been here for some time. Without devices,
with no Netflix, with no you know, we're not going to watch YouTube today.
It's been great for them.
It has been good.
And so they're out there in nature and they're doing things together and they're interacting. One of them's about to get in trouble, I say, and
that's all right. We'll deal with it.
But you know, they're doing kid stuff that we did every day when we were kids.
And it's just harder to do that today.
It's way harder to do that. We're all more inside, more expected to be entertained more, you know, and I just, number one, do things together, be together. because the forced being together.
The expectation of being together.
Having to be together makes you deal with things and brings family unity because you build memories.
Okay, you know, that's a good point to bring on next.
How do you make friends? You look for people that you do things with and that you have shared interests.
Right, and that you share experiences with, either new experiences or, you know, you've had the same experience in the past. And what better place to do that than your family? And, you know, those experiences can be, all right, let's look at some very formal ones. How do you celebrate holidays?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got a certain expectation of what you do to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas. And in some families, like in my family growing up, we always made a trip to visit the grandparents because we lived in separate towns. We always made a trip to visit the grandparents during the holiday season, but the day itself, Thanksgiving or Christmas Day, it was at our home with our nuclear family. That was just one of my father's priorities. You know, other families, like in my extended family, those that lived closer to the grandparents, it was the expectation that everybody would troop over to Grandma and Grandpa's house and they would have Christmas dinner that evening and open presents. The whole gaggle, the whole extended clan would be there at one time. And, you know, and that's neither plus or minus on either side.
Yeah, it's not so much what you do, but that you have traditions, that you have things that your family does. You know, one family I know always has a special night on Friday nights. They always eat pizza. They always play games together. Mm-hmm. You know, you can choose what it like. It might be around the holidays. It might be a weekly thing. But I think that it really builds family unity to have those memories, the things that we do, that we always do. And especially when it involves all the senses, when it has food and smells and decorations. And there's just, you know, there's a lot that will remind our kids of their family when they're away from us.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a big formal thing. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing that. We used to go to a church, you know, at some distance from our house, and every Sunday, I would get up and fix breakfast, something we could carry with us in the van because we were going to have to drive a ways to get to the worship service. And I'd go in and I'd turn on the radio to the classical music station. They always played great sacred music on Sunday morning. And one of the things I used to fix almost every Sunday was sausage and egg taquitos, you know, it was like scrambled eggs with sausage crumbled up in it, spread on tortillas, cheese, and a whole bit. Okay. And so that was what we did for breakfast nearly every Sunday. And I had some of my older boys tell me, and this has been years ago, they told me many years later, said, you know, anytime I hear Anglican church music or Gregorian chants, my mind goes back to taquitos and Sunday morning. That's just something that has been programmed in, and it was totally accidental. But it was a tradition that we built up as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it doesn't have to be the formal, how should we celebrate holidays, but you do need to think about that. But even just simple things like Dad always fixes pancakes on Saturday morning. Or, like you said, pizza on Friday night. We always do pizza on Friday night. Or something like that is just something you know what? Here's one our family does. Our older guys really love to go to opening night of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their favorite things to do is to scoop up their older brothers and mom and take you out to opening night at midnight at the local theater.
Well, we like the same kind of movies.
Yeah, they're fun stuff.
Adventure movies and spy movies and superheroes and things that moms don't generally like.
You're a boy mom.
I'm a boy mom.
You're a boy mom. Okay, so you know, okay, all those kind of things. Maybe you like to watch the same sports. Maybe you like to, you know, you all like to go out and play putt-putt in the summer evenings. I mean, just whatever it could be. But to think about, this is something that our family does.
And the interesting thing to me is that as our guys have left home, because we have, you know, three that have, they're out of house now, you know, they're on their own. And as our guys have left home, I have realized more and more the importance of these things because they talk about it. You know, they call, Mom, I'm coming home next weekend. Can you please make pancakes for me Saturday morning? You know,
you make good pancakes.
I tell you what, once you get used to some homemade buttermilk pancakes, ordinary pancakes are not very good.
Right.
But anyway, you know, they'll walk in the door and they'll see something and say, oh, are you reading that? I remember when I read that. That's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the shared experiences create a bond, even across generations, because, you know, we have kids are basically our older kids are almost in another generation from our younger kids. They're so different in age.
Yeah.
You know, and yet as they read the same things, you know, I was reading Make Way for Ducklings
mm-hmm.
with our youngest the other day.
Yeah.
And all the big kids gathered around to hear it because they have such happy memories of us reading that when they were little. And like, I tell these squirrel stories and I made it up just out of desperation with one of our older kids who couldn't sleep. And every child has enjoyed it. And the other day, when our youngest came to me and said, "Mama, I hear you used to tell these squirrel stories. Would you tell me a squirrel story?"
So you got all this family of little squirrels, and they don't go to the school. They are home squirreling. And it,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
we don't
just,
have to tell the whole story, but
it's silly fun
but
stuff.
But it's just your fun and made up lullabies and
but
family.
It creates
stuff.
A bond.
Yeah.
Between the older kids and the younger kids, they have these shared experiences, the shared memories. Like, you know, I made up a lullaby years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I just out of the blue sang it to one of our younger children the other day. And our big kids about started crying, you know, they just.
It's mama.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Those shared experiences
right.
and shared memories create bonds between parent and child
mm-hmm.
and between children. Like, I remember this. Saying, I can't even remember who it is. I should have looked this up before we start talking.
Yeah.
But an old theological writer said that the memories that bind our kids to their family hopefully will draw them through our family to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I think
our family
yeah.
points to Jesus Christ.
I think that was Theodore Packer.
Yeah, I think
it was.
Right.
But yeah, I was looking for that quote myself. I couldn't find it. But yeah, I remember that one. Now, here's something, okay, when you're dealing with relationships, you don't just put a key in the lock and turn it. It's
no.
something you have to build and grow and nurture. But sometimes there are some things that can have a surprising effect very quickly. How about dressing alike? You know, like...
That's really good, teams. Especially when you have all young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you show up with a swarm of young kids, people's eyes bug out and they get scared. They're afraid you're going to come in and tear things off.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as I found very early that if I put the same color t-shirt on everyone or the same kind of the same color of polo shirt or whatever, that people treated us differently.
They do indeed.
They treat us like a team.
You know, I remember we had a chance to take a really big trip with the family several years ago before we started traveling as a lifestyle. And just... For various reasons, we thought it would be good to have matching shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we went to an outlet store and bought a set, actually two sets of matching inexpensive polo shirts. The one set were all bright blue and another set were all bright green.
We were going to be traveling overseas and I wanted to be able to keep up with everyone, to glance and be able to count quickly that we had everybody with us. But what we really found out is everyone treated us differently. That they
yep.
treat you like they expect you to be a team and not a horde.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes don't bug out that they're afraid that you're going to tear things up, but they look at you and everybody smiles. Oh, y'all are so cute.
Yeah, and they look out there and they see five children under the age of 15, but then they see a grown-up wearing a matching shirt. So they immediately know, oh, these kids go with that grown-up and they're in charge of them because, see, they're all a team. But it's funny how that helps in our attitude toward ourselves and other people's attitude toward us. Not to do this every day
No, but just special occasions. And, mm-hmm. and it helps the kids to recognize, you know what, people are going to identify you as one of us.
Yeah.
And you need to be on your best behavior because we want them to think well of our family.
Now here's something that this is kind of personal. Several years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And the family was kind of thinking, okay, chemotherapy is probably going to lose his hair. He's going to be bald. And so for Christmas, the boys got me a really cool fedora to wear. Now, as it happened, I never did lose all my hair. But they liked the way it looked so much, they saved up and bought matching fedoras for themselves. So for a time there, whenever our family was traveling anywhere, all of us guys were wearing matching brown fedoras. And I remember going through an airport somewhere, And we're standing around waiting our chance to go through the magnetometer, and the TSA agent beckoned and he said, "Hey, Indiana Jones family, come over here. Keep the bull whips in your luggage, please." And, you know, it's funny. There's little things like that. And see, that is a quick thing. You know, it's as quick as going to the store and wearing something out for an event. And it does make a difference.
It does. I think that you've got to think of your family in the same way that you think about, how do I build relationships with friends? Mm-hmm. How do we build relationship as friends for our kids? You know,
between our siblings.
Right.
Between the siblings, yeah.
You know, and the same way, you make sure they have plenty of activities together, that they do things together.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure that they have shared experiences.
Okay.
That you have things that just our family does. And you prevent the bad stuff.
Now, let me bring up one other thing. Okay, talk about sharing activities, sharing experiences, and those are great. All in favor of that. But now, sometimes you're going to have one child or a couple of children who have a talent or a skill or an interest that nobody else has. You may have somebody who's a natural athlete. You may have somebody who's a natural musician, and the rest of the family just doesn't have it. You know, how do you develop the gifts which God has given this individual person without detracting from the rest of the family?
Well, we can still cheer them on.
True.
You know, we can go watch their games and take a picnic and make it fun for everybody. You know, to go watch them play football or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be as much of a part of it as we can. You know,
right.
We have one son who's a musician, and you know, we can ask him to play when we sing together as a family. We can enjoy that each other.
And well, the last couple of years he was at home, he and I were in a community orchestra together, and you know, I really enjoyed being in the band when I was in college, but it just wasn't something I've had the opportunity to pursue while we're raising this young family. And so when we have this natural musician that God gives us, and suddenly he wants to do some of these things, and I find that the things that I had put aside for the sake of the family, there came a time when God brought them back.
Yeah.
And it became something that didn't divide our family, but something that drew it closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a good thing, because sometimes, you know, maybe Dad is an avid golfer and nobody else has any interest or inclination or skill. You know, that could be an expensive thing. It can be a time-consuming thing. Maybe that's not a thing that Dad needs to invest every weekend in while his family's young, while you're building those crucial relationships.
Well, that's very important. We've got to keep our own desires and interests in the right place so that they don't isolate us from our family. You know, these years pass so quickly.
Yeah.
It seems like forever when all your kids are young. And then before you know it, they're leaving home, folks. It happens fast.
It gets faster as time goes on.
It really does.
You know, when your days are full of changing diapers and walking babies and burping little ones and things like that, I mean, it just seems like this will never end. I don't even get to sleep now. But, yeah, those times go away. And once they're in the rearview mirror, the road gets faster and faster. And I can say that now as a parent of eight and seeing child after child graduate high school, go off to college, you know, start their independent adult existence, and you think, wow, I can remember back when, and those days are completed now. And so, yeah, you want to make the most of them while they're there. So what are we saying?
Wait, I want to say one more thing.
Say one more thing, then.
I think we need to make sure that we are talking about our family in a way that shows their value. Because I hear people all the time complaining about their children in front of their kids and rolling their eyes, and you know they have a bad attitude about their family. Is it any wonder they have that their family has a bad attitude about each other?
Well, it's the same as the husband who speaks disparagingly of his wife in front of other people, or the wife who makes fun of her husband or expresses her dissatisfaction with her husband, you know, in front of her friends or on social media. I mean, that's just foolishness.
It's
wrong-headed stuff. And you know, if our family is valuable and God tells us they are, then we need to speak of them as if they're valuable, and we need to let them know that they're valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one other thing too, you're talking about, you know, really embracing the importance of family. That's not just this generation. There's one of the things I've found very useful in my thinking is knowing the ancestors, so to speak, you know, to know something of your family's history to say, hey, our family has been in this state for how many hundreds of years, or, you know, our family has a history of doing certain things, and we need to recognize that that's good, and we need to emulate that.
Well, I think of it a little bit more closer to home. I have remind myself continually when I feel like making a rude remark about somebody in our family to think, how do I want my children to talk about me when they're talking to their kids?
They do learn.
They do learn.
They learn without us finding a curriculum, don't they?
Yeah, and so, you know, I think it's important to talk about our immediate family and our extended family with love and respect, because it teaches a very powerful lesson to our kids that family is to be loved and respected. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be happy and delighted in our family. I think that when we show delight in our children, when we express not the obligatory love, but beyond that even, to joy and liking.
That's the thing. Do you like your children? Of course I love you. I wouldn't put up with you if I didn't love you. Yeah, but do you like me?
Yeah, to show, you know, I enjoy being with you, son. Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoy talking to you and express those things to our kids. I think that's very powerful. And I think it frees them up to show love for each other, too, because they're not competing for a few morsels of affection from mom and dad.
That's a neat thing. You know, people who don't have large families often look at the love that a parent has for one or two children and thinks of it as a pie. And if you got more children, then everybody just gets little slivers. It just gets less and less love available for each person.
But that's not the way love works.
No, it's not. It's, and I don't know how to compare it except to say that I know that when we have 8 children and they have the right relationship with one another, then every person in the family has 9 people who love them.
That's right.
And express love toward them on a regular daily basis. And you know what? I didn't have that growing up.
No,
I was a well-loved child.
That was one of two.
But I was one of two also. And to say, you know what? Maybe mom doesn't have the same number of hours per child to hold you in her lap, but there's so many people there to love.
But people don't have a finite amount of love in them to share.
Right.
Love is more like a fountain. The more you take out of it, the more burbles up, you know?
Burbling, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it's love multiplies, it doesn't divide.
Right. And so that's a good thing to keep in mind as we're going through this.
This would probably be a good time to talk about the most challenging age for dealing with these things. I noticed with interest that our question, the people asking the question on Facebook today,
yes,
had 10-year-olds, and I thought, yep, those preteen years are so challenging.
They are challenging to live through when you're the preteen, and they're challenging to be the parent of the preteen too,
because their emotions are in turmoil, their minds are changing, they're struggling with all kinds of things, they have spiritual doubts. It's just hard. And I really wish we had had all the information that we have now when our oldest were those ages, because I felt just absolutely at sea.
I was just floored. We were, so many things happened that we didn't expect, and they happened at a different time than we were bracing ourselves for. And we just didn't know. And so we put together a webinar series to share some of this stuff with people to help other parents know what's ahead and have some ideas about how to deal with it when it gets there. We call this our Boot Camp 9 to 12, and this is for parents.
It's okay? Not for kids.
Yeah, people email say, where can I send my kid? I can't deal with it.
No, although a couple of the sessions we do invite the kids in to join you, but this is for parents, and we're starting a new live session tomorrow night.
Yes.
That's Tuesday, August 18th. But if it's past and you're listening to this, it's not too late to join.
No, in fact,
you can join late and listen to the recordings. You can join any time and listen to the recordings.
Yes.
I say listen, but really watch the recordings. It's video, slides, audio, chat, the whole 9 yards. It's really like being with us in our living room as we talk about these difficult issues in raising preteens.
Right. And so we really strongly encourage, if you've got preteen sons in particular, you want to check this out, come to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp. and read about it. You can sign up for it there. If you're listening to this in time to get to the first session, great. But otherwise, remember, you can get access to the recordings and jump into the live program whenever it's convenient. So we really, yeah, we do encourage that. But that is something we've had so many, literally hundreds of families have come through this program with us. And they all say the same kind of things. I thought you had a camera in my house. I had no idea that other people were seeing the same things. I had no idea that it wasn't just us.
It's one of the most encouraging things we do, I think, mm-hmm. and one of the most popular. All right, Hal, we're out of time. We need to say goodbye.
Well, look, we do want to say we thank you for spending some time with us. As we're trying to take biblical principles and apply them to the 21st century family. So we hope you'll join us again for another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening.
Bye, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.